All right. Well, thank you. Bible says in several places, and after Jesus had sat down, he started teaching them. Like happens a lot of times, I thought I knew what I was going to share this morning, and I had some good notes there for it. And then show you how prophetic your pastor is. One thing, I did a little Google search while we were sitting there because I found out that Billy Graham was born November 7th, 1918, which means I counted backwards. He would need to have been conceived about the first part of February of 2018. So he was 100 years and a few weeks old.
Praise God. Awesome. God is good.
And then the other thing, I was, like sometimes happens, and I don't, most times I preach exactly what I prepare, and I'll probably do tonight, probably. But as I was just sitting back there in the back earlier, and it's like the Lord was just telling me, just lay that down and go to Romans chapter 4, and then I see the scriptures right up here on the screen, and so I consider that confirmation. And then I just want to share a couple of things with you before we start that, because what Randy and Jackie, the place they've been down there and the folks they were ministering to. My father was like one lady told me, talking about him in his past life, she said, well, only way I can tell you the thing to say it is J.D. Howard was the town drunk. And my daddy was a serious alcoholic. Now, for most of those years, he was able to go to work every day, look respectable. But then nights and weekends, and then some days he would disappear for a few days and you couldn't find him. But when I was 19 years old, he had gotten so bad he set fire to two rental houses we lived in and burned them down. The second one of those, I was home from leave with the Navy. And when that one happened, before he did it that night, he had gotten so rowdy that I took my mother and my brother, who was about, I guess, 6 years old then. I took them out to Grandma's and for them to stay out there. And Mama finally decided that that was enough and that she wasn't getting rid of him, but something had to change, or he had to stay away from them. And so there was a Lutheran pastor up in North Kannapolis that had been witnessing to him and telling him that somebody could help him. And so when he got desperate, he went looking for that man that had shared with him. And that fella got him lined up to go up to Lenore, North Carolina, to the Bethel Colony of Mercy, where they preached to him. I think up there it was only three times a day. And they worked on the farm, and Daddy, because he had some health issues, and also he had the truck driving experience, so they made him the driver that drove the truck and hauled the produce. They were raising produce and going and selling to the stores in town. And he did that, and he worked up there, and they stayed for months. I don't know how long. Well, those Baptist folks up there, I used to say all the time that he got delivered from alcohol. He got born again gloriously and delivered from alcohol, which is true. But then the Lord kind of said, now, you need to tell these Pentecostal folks, we're not talking about deliverance like y'all thinking about this. Somebody started casting devils out of him. Them Baptist folks up there just told him, if you get born again, you won't drink no more. And he believed it. Born again. I'm not talking about just praying a prayer. I'm talking about getting born again. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That means you were alcoholic, you're not anymore.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
Now, this is not a knock on any organization, but just the way it is that he had tried AA, and if they're able to help some people get off of alcohol, well, good for them. But he was so excited when he got born again that he went to one of their meetings because he thought they would want to know. And when all these other folks had got up, and even though they hadn't had a drink in 15 years, they'd get up and say, my name's such and so, and I'm an alcoholic. My daddy got up and said, I'm J.D. Howard, and I used to be an alcoholic. And they asked him not to come back anymore. He was confusing people. But at any rate, he knew he got changed. And then he wanted to tell everybody he could find about Jesus.
Amen.
And people would get their drinking family members, want Daddy to come talk to them. And Daddy didn't deal with them for a long time. And finally, he might tell some of them. He was kind of strong. He told a couple of people, he said, listen, if you're not interested in getting saved, I don't have time to fool with you. He said, if you go into hell, you might be better off drunk when you get there. He said, I'm not interested in just getting you dried out. I want to get you changed.
Amen.
Right? So that's kind of in my background. And I was glad to hear that. Now, I had a birthday a couple of weeks ago. And in order to give me a birthday proclamation, I had a little bit of it I shared here earlier. I hadn't quite seen the whole thing yet. And some of y'all saw it on Facebook. But I'll just say to you, I'm 81, but I'm not done. I can't quit now because there's more race to be run. God's assignment is clear from, God's assignment is still clear from the Father and Son to preach grace and faith and teach how the victory is won.
Amen.
So that's what we're going to do today. I was back there, and the Lord just said to me, how about go to Romans chapter 4? So let's do that. And I do have some notes down there, and I might decide to pick them up and use some of them. Let's see. And by the way, I noticed the weatherman said it was going to rain from 10 to 1. And at 10, look, right after 10 o'clock, it started pouring down out there, and it's not supposed to quit till 1. So y'all don't want to get out early and get out and get wet. But... But no, I will let you out in plenty of time. But it says, I teach faith and grace and how you get the victory won.
Amen.
And some other things, but they're all associated with that.
Yes.
And Billy Graham, as we all know, he was a specialist. Now, there was a lot of things I'm sure there are a lot of things he knew a lot about.
Yeah.
But you know what he taught? He taught something he could always wind up by singing Just As I Am. And given an invitation that God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Well, so I'm a specialist in what God called me to do. People say, why don't you hardly ever preach about hell? I said, well, God didn't assign me that. If y'all, I'm not planning on going there. Why do I need to know all that? But you know, I know it's real, and people need to know it. There is a hell. But I've kind of been assigned to do something else. And so here in Romans chapter 4, and by the way, when we sang that song, How Great Is Our God? How Great Is Our God? I love that song. And when we sang that, we're singing it with an exclamation point on the end of it. But when I was looking at it, thinking about this morning as we were singing it, you could also sing that with a question mark on the end of it. How great is our God? How great is our God? And a lot of folks singing that song don't really have that big an image of God.
That's right.
I mean, because you think about, like in my daddy's case, he had had an alcohol problem for a long time. Now, Daddy, if I wanted to be a psychologist, I can go back and look at his background, and I understand why he had them problems. He was the only boy had two brothers. One died right after birth, and one died at 12 years old with appendicitis. But other than that, he had four sisters. And my granddaddy had asthma, and they were sharecroppers on a cotton farm. And when Daddy got into the fourth grade, Grandma said, that's all the education you need, boy. We need you at home working. Now, his sisters had it a little easier. They got to go to school through the eighth grade, and then they had to quit school and go to work in the cotton mill. And I ain't talking about working to buy yourself a car or a cell phone. I'm talking about kids working to help the family put groceries on the table. Some of y'all know something about that, don't you? But so Daddy had a rough background and things and all that, but he educated himself. You'd never know. He worked at Belk's and was manager of the men's department and went to New York a couple of times a year and picked out the clothes they were going to have in the store for the next year because he didn't let that part do that, but it caused other issues. But at any rate, in the natural, most folks would tell you that they know hope for this, but they don't know how great is their God, do they? Romans chapter 4. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? It says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, you know righteousness means to be in right standing with God. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, we believe unto salvation, and whatsoever, life. But at any rate, Abraham was made right with God. Righteous. By what? By faith, not by works. So we know in the new covenant that we are made righteous with God by faith, not by our works. But how about in the old covenant? Way back even before the law. How did you get made right with God? By faith.
Amen.
Now, most church people are so works-oriented. I've got a young man, he's, I think, a year older than me. I mean, younger. he's gone to church all of his life in a denominational church. And he's interested in this, and I have not yet get him to see the concept. And he's in a major denominational church, and he's been there all of his life and been faithful and gone to church and gone to Sunday school and gone to Wednesday night choir practice. I don't think they have preaching on Wednesday night. But whatever, all they're supposed to do. And he cannot get this concept about being born again and being right just by faith, because he's been taught all of his life. I'm sure they preach the scriptures. But he's got this mentality, it's about the good works I do. I said, no, you don't do the good works trying to get right with God. You get right with God, and that makes you want to do the good works. And empowers you to do them. So let me insert here. There was a brief period of time in history when God's people were under the law. And that was from the time Moses went up on the mountain, which is way after Abraham, and got the law. Before that, there wasn't any law. Now, there were some rules and whatever, but we didn't have the law, as we called the law. And then when Jesus went to the cross, that law was nailed to the cross, and no longer. So for 1,250 years, people had to go by these blood sacrifices and killing your cow and the high priest. And God did that. The Bible says he gave that, had this under the law to let us know, to prove to us, mankind, that you can't do it yourself. That's what that was all about. You need somebody to do it for you. Abraham was made right with God through faith, the same way we are today. Now, I'm going to go over here to about verse 16. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace. It comes by faith so that it may be by grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. We know that. Grace is also another definition. Grace is a power word. It's not a weak word. It's a power word. If grace is strong enough to save you. Some people think grace is just God putting up with you. No, God has given you whatever you need to get the job done, including living right.
Amen.
Amen.
Grace is power. The operational power of God. Grace is G-R-A-C-E. God's resources. I was trying to put the A in there too fast. God's resources at Christ's expense. There's a couple other words you can use in there.
Yes.
In other words, it's God giving you everything he has to do, everything he needs you to do, and somebody else paid for it, and that was Jesus.
Amen.
That's grace. So therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's offsprings. We saw that on the board, didn't we?
Yes, yes.
That's you.
That's me.
Guaranteed.
Yes, Lord.
What are you guaranteed? Not just that you can be in right standing with God. You are guaranteed that the promises of God will be taken care of in your life through something called grace.
Amen.
There's the power to do it. But now then, well, let me go on down and read a little bit. He is the father of us all. And he says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. We're children of Abraham, by the way. You see that? In whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that be not as though they were, Romans 4:17. He gives life to the dead and calls things that be not as though they were. Now, that doesn't mean Charles Capps helped us understand. That doesn't mean. Some people think that means if I'll call this thing something. That's a bottle of water there. Well, I don't want water. I want a Dr. Pepper, so I'll just call it a Dr. Pepper. Well, it's water. He said that don't mean when you go out in the yard to feed the dog and a cat shows up that you call the cat a dog and it'll turn into a dog. No, it means when you go out there and to feed the dog and the dog's not there, you call the dog. You say, here, dog, come here. And so that's what that's talking about. So when healing doesn't seem to be showing up at my door, I come out to find my healing and it's not there, what do? I call it.
Hallelujah.
And I call it with the Word of God. I say the Word of God says, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed.
Yes, Lord.
Word of God says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Word of God says, believers lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I'm a believer. This is a hand. Get well, body. Right? It says in verse 18, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so he became the father of many nations. Now, we know it gets into a little more detail. Abraham, I could take us back over to Genesis, but I think y'all know it enough. Well, I'll just take us mentally back there. You know, Abraham had been given a promise by God. Sarah had not been able to have children. Abraham could. But to his credit, I don't know, but one he had outside of, with a wife. And that was a mistake. Right? But God promised him when he was about 65 years old that you could take him out. He didn't have any children at that time. His wife had been barren all these years. And of course, we know that the situation came along when she suggested that you maybe, because she knew how important it was for her to have a male heir. And she said, well, maybe you ought to arrange something with the Hagar. And I heard Kenneth Copeland say one time, he said, and Abraham, he said, that old boy didn't have to think about that a minute. He said, that's a good idea. He said, that probably wasn't the first time he had thought of that until she suggested it. But at any rate, that caused trouble. But he got the promise when he was about 65. And now, it might be some in here about 65. It seems kind of unlikely that y'all are going to have any children. But don't make them faces at me, Wanda, while I'm trying to preach.
I thought I was the only one who got the faces.
She's thinking about our preacher at the wedding. Her first name is Sarah, by the way. Sarah Wanda. Sarah Wanda Lean. But at any rate, He got that promise about 65, and God took him out and said, look up here. See all them stars in the sky? You're going to have offspring. We were some of those stars. That's how it got to be that many, because he's going to have all these adopted children he didn't even know about, too. And he said, and sand on the sea, going to be like this. He said, so Abram, he was then, he was trying to hang on to that promise, and it was when he was 99 years old that God said to him, I believe it's Genesis chapter 17, when this happened, God did not tell him this until he was 99. He'd been trying to believe that and getting no results. And God said to him, you know that promise I made to you? I'm going to give you a little paraphrase. He said, if you want that to happen, you're going to have to change what you're calling yourself. Quit calling yourself Abram and start calling yourself Abraham, which means the father of many nations or the father. You've got to change what you're calling yourself. So don't be calling yourself sick.
That's right.
Now, you don't need, we know about there's facts and there's truth. Don't deny the facts. The facts are, if the doctor says you got this, well, the facts are probably that you do. But the truth is that don't belong to you, and it's going to get you're going to get it replaced with something.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
I heard a story about when somebody heard all his faith preaching. Listened to all the tapes. Wasn't my tapes, somebody else's tapes, because they got this idea. He went to the doctor, because the ear was been hurting him real bad. And so finally we went to the doctor. It got bad enough. So the nurse said, took him in there. When the doctor came in, the doctor said, what's wrong? And the man said, nothing's wrong. I'm fine. I'm healed. The doctor said, that's good. That'll be $75. Just pay for it and you go out. So about another week, he got to hurting so bad, he decided, I got to go to the doctor again. He went back to the doctor. And the doctor said, and he'd been making his faith confession, and the doctor said, well, what's your problem? He said, nothing wrong with me. I'm healed. Well, that'll be $75. And so then finally, the third time, the guy went back, and when the doctor came in and said, what's the problem? And he said, doctor, I am healed and fine except for my ear. And the doctor was able to give him a little help. So, you know, now here's something important I've known a long time. Y'all can just take this and remember it. The same God that gave you a spirit gave you a brain. Right? And against hope, verse 18, Abraham in hope believed, and so he became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be, making reference to the stars and the sand. And it says, without weakening in faith, he faced the fact. There's that word fact, didn't it? He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Now, we got two problems here. This old man is 99 years old, and his body don't work like it used to. And Sarah, his wife, has never been able to conceive a child. And it says he faced them facts. Yeah, I know that's the facts. And then I have exactly in other translations, but in the NIV, the next word, verse 20, the first word is yet. It could be but. He faced the facts, but yet he didn't waver through unbelief. Weren't you talking about unbelief would rob us a while ago? He did not waver through unbelief. He knows the facts. It says everything is against this ever happening. And then he sang a little song, how great is my God. How great. He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. But he was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Thinking about the facts and thinking about the promise just made his faith get stronger.
Amen.
He was strengthened in his faith.
Glory to God.
Now, there might be some people in this room this morning. I might be one of them. But once in a while, you come up against some stuff that it just seems like this is too big for God. Or else you get to thinking. You wait 2 days and it's not working yet. I'm talking about Abraham from age 65 to 99. Hanging on in faith, facing the facts,
hallelujah.
Yet.
Yes,
every time them facts would come up, he'd say, yet.
Amen.
Facing the facts, yet. He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise. He had a promise from God, didn't he? But he was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. And here's what I was thinking about this earlier in the week, and I mentioned it to a couple of people, and I was really kind of thinking about doing something with this tonight, but I hadn't got there yet, and I was ready for this morning with something else. But it says that he strengthened in his faith and he gave glory to God, being fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Everybody say fully persuaded.
Fully persuaded.
Fully persuaded. Oh, I thought about almost persuaded. No, that's what that idiot said to Paul, and he never did get saved. He said, Paul, I'm almost persuaded. Thou that almost persuades me. All these years of seeing no results. Now, I'm talking about in regard to having that baby. I'm sure he was seeing God bless him in other ways. That encourages you. But there's one thing, you know, that seems too big. And I tell you, I'm sure he wasn't getting no help downtown, even especially when he was 99. And God said, from now on, when you go to town, talk to them, all them guys down there, when you go to Troutman's or Bojangles and you're sitting around there at that table with all them men.
Are you prophesying when we go eat?
Said no. He said. He said, tell them I got an announcement for you. I'm changing my name to Father of Many Nations. I tell you, it's one thing to talk faith in the prayer closet by yourself, just you and God, but when all them people that think you're crazy are around, yes, you still got to talk faith.
Amen.
Being fully persuaded that God, and I'm not reading out the NIV, had power to do what he had promised. He had the power to do what he had promised. The King James says he was fully persuaded that God was able to do what he had promised. How great is our God? I guess that was my title, and I didn't even know it. How great is our God? How great is our God? How great is our God? He was able to do what he had promised. I'm going to give you some. We could turn and look at some scriptures here, but I'm going to remind you of a few. I wrote some notes. I do have notes. Think about the woman with the issue of blood. I preached about her, I think, last time I preached here. You know, she heard of Jesus. She had this issue of blood been going on for 11 years, 12 years, whatever. 12 years, wasn't it? Yeah. And wouldn't stop. She's just bleeding all the time. Been to all the doctors. Wasn't getting any better, getting worse. Spent all her money. Went to the doctor, spent all her money. And sounded like out of her own pocket. And she wasn't getting any better. And then she heard somebody tell a testimony about this guy named Jesus. And I think she heard because it's just two chapters before this, it talks about people were touching him and getting healed. And I think she heard a testimony about folks are touching this guy Jesus and they are getting healed. And so, we could look at this, but y'all know this story well. And so, based on her hearing that, she said, and it's continuous, she said and kept on saying, but then I shared this with you when I was here before and we talked about positioning for the miraculous a little bit and talked about her, that in the Greek, the usage of that word, for she said, indicated not only that it was continuous, but that it had started happening back in the past sometime. So it wasn't like she heard this. If that's the case, it wasn't like she heard a testimony, and all of a sudden she just ran out of the house and went out there and found Jesus. Because, wherever she was, Jesus might have been in the other end of Israel somewhere that day. I don't know. But it sounds like she started at the house when she heard that testimony. If I can get around him, and if I can so much as just get a hold of the hem of his coat, I'm going to be healed. Amen. And she said that, and she said that, and she said that. And then when the opportunity's there, Jesus is available, she goes out. There's a crowd of people, and the ruler of the synagogue is there because his daughter is at home dying when he comes. And here comes this woman, and there's a crowd mobbed around Jesus. And this woman pushes her way through. Now, if she's got an issue of blood, that means she's unclean under the Jewish law, which means the man that could have her stoned to death for being out in public and touching people could be the ruler of the synagogue. But she is so convinced of her healing. She is so convinced of how great this her God is, her God she's just found out about. And how convinced she is, how fully persuaded, how fully persuaded she was. That she just didn't take any of that into consideration. She knew the facts. The facts were if she's got this problem. The facts were that you're not supposed to be out in public. That's why she'd been home shut up all this time. The facts are that you're risking your life by going out and doing this. Yet, she said, I'm so convinced this is going to work. I'm just going to go do it.
Amen.
And she pushed her way right through.
Hallelujah.
Fully persuaded. Let's see. You know, in the King James it says about her, I believe it does in the NIV too, that it says a certain woman. It's So I mentioned, well, I was talking about fully persuaded, actually, to Leslie on the phone the other day, and she said, well, you know, there was that woman that was certain. A certain woman. Well, I tell you the truth, we know by her actions she was certain. She was certain, yes, that if I touched the hem of his garment. But I looked in yesterday, I checked that out in the interlinear Greek and English to see what that word certain actually meant. And what I found out was it wasn't even in the original text. But the way it was a woman, so a woman is certain. And not just some woman. It was a woman. But, and then it was, this is just free, I'll give you this. I think I knew it before, but I was reminded yesterday how when you get to looking at words in the original language, the word for woman there, certain woman, the word for woman is spelled G-Y-N-E. Some of y'all in this room go to a doctor whose profession starts out with that, don't you? Well, what is he? He's a woman doctor. A gynecologist. All them ologists. I decided I'm going to be an ologist. Because if you study gynecology, then you're a gynecologist. If you study cardiology, you're a cardiologist. And all them doctors like that. And I'm a doctor of ministry in theology, so I am a theologist. I'm not going to go around promoting. Don't put that on my card. No. I'm backing up in my thought. Against all hope, Abraham. Hopeless.
Yes.
Against all hope, he believed. Not only did he believe, he was fully persuaded. Right? Fully persuaded. He was fully persuaded. He faced the facts, but yet. I didn't realize how good this was going to be when I wrote that down. He faced the facts, but yet. And so when the facts come, okay, there's the facts. I'm going to tell you something. I'm proud of your former pastor, how he stood with the facts he's faced. And, you know, he had third surgery here not too long back, and this time, the Lord had told them to stay away from it before, but this time they really prayed about it, and it felt like the Lord said, have chemo and radiation, which they did. But you know what he had folks praying? I was praying, and Wanda and I prayed every day for them and prayed what he said to pray. Pray that this chemo and radiation will do what it's supposed to do to get rid of this cancer, because they did second surgery, they only found scar tissue. This time there was some cancer coming back. But that this is going to kill that cancer and get rid of it, but that he was not going to suffer the consequences of radiation and chemo. And so went through great. Lost his pretty hair, he's so proud of, on one side of his head. It's worse when you just lose hair on one side of your head. But any rate, and came through that thing, but believing God, faced the facts, and even faced the facts that I feel like the Lord's saying to us, go ahead and have this treatment that's so harsh. But yet, we're believing we're going to come out good. And that's what we have to do. Because you can't get rid of facts. Facts are facts. When I say can't get rid of them, you can modify them and then put things into action that will change the facts. Then you go back to the doctor and the facts are, well, you're healed. I know, doctor, that's what I've been saying for a long time. I'm healed. All right? He didn't waver, verse 20, through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but he was strengthened in his faith, and he gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had the power to do, he had power to do what he had promised, or King James, that what God had promised, he was able to do.
Yes.
So what you need to know is you need to know the promises. And that's where, you know, it's wonderful, like Jackie and Randy, and man, the Lord needs people that are basically soul winners.
Amen.
And I tell you what, he needs some other specialists. That when you hear somebody around you at work or wherever that is say sick, you think that means God said sick them. Because you're like a hungry dog if somebody waves a Gainsburger. You say, well, let me tell you something.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
And I tell you, we talked about the woman, the issue of blood. Think about and all that probably started with somebody's testimony. They said, it might have been a friend of hers. They said, you know, I know you've been to the doctors. You spent all your money. They've just, everything the doctors did to you just made you worse. But she said, there's this man Jesus. People are touching him. You know, we don't have all that in the Bible, but we do know she heard something specific enough that she wanted to go touch the hem of his garment. Amen. And she started confessing that. And the facts were against her. But yet. So, fully persuaded with what God had promised, he was able to perform. The there was a widow, her and her son. Usually I read you a lot of scriptures, but I know you know these things, and so for the sake of time, I can cover more territory to remind you. And there was a widow that had a couple sons, and she had gotten down to the point where they had enough meal and oil to make one biscuit, and they were going to eat that and die. Now, there was a prophet named Elijah that had prophesied to King Ahab three years back or more, and said, he went in there one day and told Ahab, Ahab was a bad dude. Wanda and I have been listening to an audio book on Paradigm by Jonathan Cahn, and he writes all this stuff in the Ahab's time, and it just lines up with the politics of this nation over recent years. Same characters, different names. But Elijah had said, it ain't going to rain no more till I say so. And that's a bold prophet.
That's right.
And you know what? It quit raining and it didn't rain. He was letting that king know that I know somebody got more power than you do.
Amen.
And he said, it ain't going to rain no more till I say so. And so for the space of 3 years, it didn't rain. And what happens when it doesn't rain? Things start getting dry. So God made provision for his prophet. He sent him down by the brook Cherith, and he had water, and he had the birds bringing him something to eat twice a day, I believe it was. Well, then, if it doesn't rain long enough, the creek dries up. And so God said to Elijah, now get thee to, he sent him to the brook Cherith to start with. He said, now get thee to Zarephath, for I have commanded a widow woman there in Zarephath to sustain. Now that widow woman probably didn't, he said, I have commanded her. God had already told that woman with enough flour to make a biscuit, I'm sending the prophet down here and I want you to feed him. Now I don't know what she thought of that. But then here comes Elijah, and he didn't do like a lot of folks. I have stood in that pulpit years ago and preached about faith foolishness or presumption. Faith is do what God told you to do. What God said do? He said, go to Zarephath, be looking for a widow, and know that she's supposed to feed you.
Yes.
Well, he could have gone to some other town. Well, that'd been stupid. God said, go to Zarephath. He could have been looking. He said, yeah, well, here I am in Zarephath, Lord, but I know when you said widow woman, you meant go find me a rich businessman that's got a lot of money. Or you meant for me to go to church service and get down there beside somebody praying, somebody that looks like they got money, and I can pray loud beside them and say, oh, Lord, if somebody don't feed me, I'm going to starve to death. But no, he just went to that town looking for the widow woman. And then he's got them lined up, both of them. See, he was needing somebody to feed him too. It's not like he came with groceries for her. God sent the prophet with a word for her, not with groceries. And sometimes there's folks that think they're in bad shape that need a word a whole lot worse than they need groceries, I'll just tell you. But the reason I'm bringing all this out, God was working on two sides of this problem. Elijah needed somebody to provide for him, and the woman needed somebody to take care of her. And so he took care of both of them by her listening to what the man of God said and doing it, providing that seed of first, feed him first.
Yes, yes.
He didn't say give me half. He said feed me first.
That's right.
She might have thought he's going to gobble up this whole biscuit. But she did it because why? She had heard from God. And listen, that's another caution on this tale I like to point out to people. There's some preachers on TV that love to preach about the last biscuit and tell you that you're supposed to send it to them. But really, instead of your last biscuit, they'd really rather have $1,000. And I've known people to say, listen, do that if God has spoken to you. That woman had already heard from God before the preacher ever told asked for the biscuit. Now, but here's somebody, look at her. Elijah too, really. Fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. I'm about to preach myself into thinking half persuaded won't get it done. Almost persuaded. Thinking about it. Wishing and a hoping. Hoping and a praying.
Right.
Hoping and a praying. Usually hoping and praying don't have a bit of faith in it. If you're hoping and a praying. Now hope's got a real role.
Amen.
They was a woman. There's another widow woman. And was that the same one? No, there was one about the oil, you know, flowing. That's the one I'm thinking about now. And she was in bad shape. And the man of God came and said she's down to the last little bit of oil. And the man of God said, send your boys out and go out and tell all your neighbors that you need to borrow all the pots they have. Now, listen, if she was in that shape, her neighbors knew that she didn't have a pot or any beans to put in it. Okay? So she's got to go out here and look foolish. Asking my neighbors to borrow all their pots. What in the world is she going to want with pots? She got pots now. She can't put nothing in. And she says, well, I'm about to go in the oil business. And I am fully persuaded. You've got to be fully persuaded. You know, worried about them looking foolish or embarrassed, fully persuaded will take care of that. Amen.
Yes.
Fully persuaded. Peter in the boat. Storm. Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. Jesus said, get in the boat, boys. We're going to the other side. Well, and the storm was already blowing. But they get out in the storm. And then I'm getting storms mixed up here. There's a lot of good storms, but I'm thinking about the one where Jesus came walking out, you know, and he said to Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. Peter said, well, get out of the boat. He said, come. Now, you can't walk on water, but you can walk on the word.
Amen. There you go.
And so Jesus was already walking on it.
Amen.
And when he put that word come out there, that was Peter's grace to get out of the boat and walk on the word. But Peter stepped out on that, and guess what? It worked for a little bit. He was fully, I guarantee you, when that boy got out of the boat, he was fully persuaded at that moment. But then he got his eye, he started noticing the storm. It was already stormy. He started noticing the storm. So he started paying attention to the facts, and he forgot to say, yet.
Yep.
But the facts were there was a storm.
Yep.
And the facts are that people can't actually walk on water, whether there's a storm or not.
Right.
I mean, it's bad, hard enough to believe if it's calm.
Right.
And so he got fully persuaded for just a, I think he was almost persuaded, persuaded enough to get out of the boat.
Yeah.
But he got out there and walking, and then he got his eyes on the circumstances. And that's what Abraham refused to do over here. He considered not. Considered not his own body now dead, neither yet dead. He refused to consider the complications or the circumstances, I want to say it. He chose to focus only on the promise of God and the fact that I'm convinced how great God, our God, is.
Yes.
And that he is able, whatever he has promised, he is able to perform. Make sure he's promised it.
Amen.
How do you know he promised it? Well, it's in the book.
That's right.
Yes. Some of us threw a little something in the plate here this morning. I know y'all are givers in this church. But people, when they when it gets down to where I have not had to give out of with a little fear in a long time. I never have, really, because I was just convinced. And I've got a little old composition book at home that my wife Jane and I had when we started out. In fact, it goes back to where it's got the people that were invited to the shower they gave for her for a wedding shower and what gifts they brought. But we've got she wrote our first budget in that book. And I was in the Navy, and I was E6 with over 4 years in, and I was making a cool, exact $200 a month. Now, I did, after I got married, I was getting $77.10 for a housing allowance, and I was getting $30 a month for commuted rations, which meant I was eating at home instead of on the base. If I ate on the base, I had to pay for it. So they figured they could feed me out there for $30, so they figured I ought to be able to eat at home for $30 a month. But I think they were getting a better deal on their groceries than I was. But so that came to exactly $300, right at it. And $307, I think. But they did take some tax out, so that about it, right at $300. And I look at that budget I had, and my car payment was $65 a month. And we had a mobile home rent, mobile home payment, plus the lot rent was up there somewhere around $90 a month. Well, anyway, what I'm going to get down to is when we figured it out, I can see it right there in the book, when we put down the absolute necessities, and now we had one car, by the way. We had no TV. We had no telephone. You know why? Because you have a telephone, you have to pay a telephone bill. Some of y'all used to live back then. I ain't talking about everybody in the family didn't have an $800 phone. I'm talking about we didn't have no phone. But you know what? We were living in our means. But one item on that old budget from 1960, when I was making $300 a month, said church, $30. And I will promise you that $30 bought us a whole lot of stuff that don't show up in that budget. Because, and I guarantee you, we had all kind of neighbors. We had all kinds of people going to church with us that would have said, oh, I can't afford to give. I can give $2. No way I can give $30 out of what I got coming in this month. But we were just fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. And you know something? I can tell you stories about big old tow sacks full of sweet potatoes showing up at my house. And they were good. They were good. Cream sweet potatoes is good. Fried sweet potatoes is good. Mashed sweet potatoes is good. Baked sweet potatoes are good. We was eating, man. Fully persuaded.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Faith, like potatoes, that'd be
faith. I got a video of that. You got it? Yeah, okay. Any rate, I just decided to talk about faith a little bit today.
Praise God. Amen.
And how many here people decided this morning you're going to be fully persuaded?
Amen.
About what? About every promise. You can count on him for every promise in the book. Now, you got to rightly divide the word, you know. Some things God was talking to specific individuals. When he said to Abraham, you're going to have to be like children, like all this, that might not apply to all us. That was specific, but the Bible makes that plain. But I tell you, when it says whosoever will, you know it's talking to you, don't you?
Yes.
And if it says when it says give and it shall be given unto you, who's he talking to? The one that gave. Now that might not be talking to your neighbor. It's trying to talk to your neighbor, the promise part of it, but the condition is talking to everybody. So anyway, I'm happy to be here today. Always enjoy being with you. As Robert said, there's some MP3s out there. All of them are one single disc, but he does all that. He takes care of that magic and a number of messages, anywhere from two. One of them's got two messages, that's Job, and some of them's got four and some six, and one of them's got 14 messages on one disc, and they're not for sale. They're just out there. If you need one, take it. If you do take it, though, you have to listen to it, and then after you listen to it, if you're through with it, you can hang on to it. Let's do it again if you want to, but if not, pass it on to somebody that needs to hear it. And if I don't do this about that. If you ever want to do anything with our ministry at Spirit of Faith Ministries, and I'm on internet radio, Spirit of Faith Ministries takes care of mine and also Randall Greer's. We also help Bishop Sousa some, it's like y'all do. I run yours through with ours and other things we're involved in ministry. And so you can do that sometimes if you take a notion too, but your church is a blessing to us anyway. So glad to be here. Thank you.